Hallelujah. Open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. This is one of those where it's, I know what the lesson is tonight. The title is called Mortification versus Will Worship. And I've had this knowledge for some time, a while, but it really came into perfect focus Wednesday night when I was listening to Nathan, and he gave an example. And I have examples from my own life that I could use, and I may use them at another time. But all of my notes, I made it. I just went home. I didn't go home for a couple of hours after that service. Didn't go home. I didn't go to bed for several hours after that service Wednesday night because knowledge was flowing, and I was writing it down and praying and writing it down, and I've learned not to stop that until I get a release. So I'm just going to stick with Nathan's example Wednesday night for tonight probably. And you know, so you're stealing his stuff. Tough. He stole a bunch of mine. So anyway, we have this joke amongst us. It doesn't matter. You know, One time I shared something with Bronk that I had just recently gotten that day. I called him. I was so excited. I called Bronk and I told him. Of course, you know, I only preach every now and then here. We have other preachers here. Bronk says, well, the boy said, that's great. When's the next time you're preaching? I went, next Sunday, I think. He goes, I'm preaching Wednesday night. They'll never believe you had it first. Anyway, we have fun. We have fun with that. Okay, Colossians chapter 2. The subject is mortification versus will worship. And sometimes it's hard to... Like, I'm going to say it's will worship. We're going to read the scripture, but we're talking about really... when I say will worship, discipline through the strength of man. Okay, discipline through the strength of man. Whether it's physical things, you know, natural things, like I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to get more, I'm going to eat my vegetables, I'm going to change my diet, or spiritual things. Sadly, you can use discipline even when it comes to spiritual things. When I say discipline, now discipline's not a bad word. You can get over into will worship, which is bad, even using spiritual tools like fasting and prayer. Fasting and prayer are spiritual tools, but you can get over into using them in a will worship way. You'll see what I mean here in a minute. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 16. I'm going to read it out of the King James, this whole passage, and then I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. It's really important that you see the difference. In the King James, Paul says, let no man therefore judge you in meat, that be food or drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath. Days isn't really in there. It's in italics. Well, anyway, I better not preach. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward, in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship. Do you see that will worship there? Which indeed have a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body. Now notice, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Well, that is just very King Jamesy. I don't know about you. That last sentence doesn't help me a whole lot. So let me read it to you out of the Amplified. And as you know, the Greek language is much more inclusive than our English language. Every Greek word seems to have more nuances. The Amplified does exactly that. It amplifies the Greek and brings out the nuances in our language so that we know what they heard. We hearing what they heard. So, therefore, the same passage out of the Amplified. Therefore, let no one sit in judgment on you in matters of food and drink, or with regard to a feast day, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. Such things are only the shadow of things that are to come, and they have only a symbolic value. But the reality, the substance, the solid fact of what is foreshadowed, the body of it, belongs to Christ. Man, we could preach right there. Remember when Dave said every shadow in the Old Testament? See, every time I get a revelation, I want at least two witnesses from the new and one from the old. Because I know that anything that's real casts a shadow. And I better find that shadow in the Old Testament or I'm not ready to preach it yet. You see what I mean? If it's real, everything in the Old Testament is a shadow of the real. Who's the real? Jesus. Well, that casts every truth. You'll find a shadow of it in the Old Testament. Anyway, see, I told you I'm not supposed to preach. We'll never make it. But the reality, the substance, the solid fact of what is foreshadowed, the body of it, belongs to Christ. Let no one defraud you by acting as an umpire and declaring you unworthy and disqualifying you for the prize, insisting on self-abasement and a worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he claims he has seen, vainly puffed up by his sensuous notions and inflated by his unspiritual thoughts and fleshly conceit. And not holding fast to the head, which is capitalized in both the King James and Amplified. It's talking about Jesus, holding on to him, the head, from whom the entire body, supplied and knit together by means of its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. If then you have died with Christ to material ways of looking at things and have escaped from the world's crude and elemental notions and teachings of externalism, why do you live as if you still belong to the world? Why do you submit to rules and regulations such as do not handle this, do not taste that, don't even touch that, referring to things all of which perish with being used? Now listen, to do this is to follow human precepts and doctrines. Such practices have indeed the outward appearance that popularly passes for wisdom in promoting self-imposed rigor of devotion. I'm going to read that again. Self-imposed rigor of devotion and delight in self-humiliation and severity of discipline of the body, but they are of no value in checking the indulgence of the flesh. Instead, they do not honor God, but serve only to indulge the flesh. Years ago, one of the early things I heard, I was still in the trucks when the Lord told me, because I was raised by a pretty strong disciplinary type father. I love my father. I needed discipline. How many of you knows we're supposed to put discipline in our kids? But I kept trying to use discipline to grow spiritually. And one of the early things I heard, now I heard this and it was years later before I understood it, but the Holy Spirit said to me, flesh cannot cast out flesh. That'll still fly today. That's what will worship in a nutshell is. It is flesh trying to bring flesh under control. Okay? It will not work. It'll work a little bit, and it'll work for a season. If you want to see, again, I want to say it like I said this morning. If you want to see the definition almost of will worship, just go to Planet Fitness or Ten Gym or any of the gyms on about January 2nd or 3rd. You're going to see all these people signing up. This is the year I'm going to lose that weight. This is the year I'm going to eat my broccoli. This is the year, and it's will worship. I don't like what I am. I don't like what I see in the mirror. I'm going to change it. I'm going to use my discipline. That's will worship. Okay. Now Nathan wasn't really teaching Wednesday night on will worship, but in the course of the teaching, which I thought was really good, in the course of it, he gave the best example I believe I've ever seen of the difference between real mortification and will worship. So I'm going to read some of these. Are some I wrote, like I say, about 2 pages before I went to bed that night. It took a while to write it. Nathan taught last night And at one point, he told about an experience he had in his earlier days when he had such an experience with the presence of God. The presence of God came in so strong where he was. It put him on the floor. And he says he could not get up off the floor. He says, I know people accuse me of exaggerating, but I am telling you, I was trying with all my might to get up, and I could not get up. The presence of the Lord was so heavy, it weighed Nathan down. Then he added, even after such an experience of God's presence, after that presence lifted, he continued to sin after that. Now, he went on to explain how eventually, and I don't know how long a period of time this is. I don't think it was days. I don't think it was weeks. I think it was years. He eventually understood the teaching of Romans 6 and how it is the bridge from the guy who cannot stop sinning in Romans 7 and the man who can stop sinning in Romans chapter 8. Now, Gary's notes. I know from Nathan's previous testimony that he continued to do the message during that whole time period. Amen? See, again, I can't bypass what the Lord brings up during this. Dave, how many times have you heard him say, the first war you have to win is to stop falling out of prayer. Stop that. You've got to win that one. Because when you fail, and I don't know anyone who hasn't failed along the way, and sometimes failed big, the condemnation that comes is so, it's not conviction, it's condemnation. It's from the enemy's camp, and it's designed to make you hopeless and to just want to give up and chuck the whole thing, and I'll just be a nice little sinning Christian till the day I die. Well, the first war you have to win, and you may... is stop falling out of prayer. And if you do, don't ask me how I know this. Even if you do fall out, you get so disgusted with yourself. You may fall out for a while, maybe weeks, maybe longer. Still, you got to get back in there. Get back in there. Okay. Dave used to say it this way, I don't care what slimy rock you crawled out from under. You go to the blood, go to 1 John 1:9, you confess it as sin, you get cleansed, and you get back into prayer. Amen? All right. Now, so thankfully, and he may have come in, I don't know how, I just know overall Nathan continued to do the message. Even though he says, now here comes this presence of God. So, you'd think you would never be the same once the presence came like that, right? See, I have an experience that happened to me many years ago down in Houston during a meeting we were doing down there, and I have never before or since experienced the anointing like that. It took two men to hold me up. I was not exaggerating. I was so drunk. Were you there? I was so drunk. Two guys were holding me, one under each arm like this. I'm not real little, you know. They're holding, and another guy was taking my hand and putting it on people, and they were getting healed. I mean, I could hardly talk. I mean, such an experience, and it was real. I was not faking at all. But I would say after that, Gary, did you ever sin after that? Oh, we're talking about Nathan. Okay. Yeah. So the presence came. Couldn't even get off the floor. But once that was over, he says, I continued sinning. So as Nathan did the message over that time period, what was happening? Because he eventually did quit the sin. He eventually quit it. He says, so I'm saying, what part of him was changing so that he eventually came to the place where he stopped sinning? And it was the revelation knowledge of what really happened to him when he was born again. Repeatedly Wednesday night, Nathan kept saying, quote, we are children of light. We are not part dark and part light. We were dark. We are light. We should walk as children of light because that is who we are. Right about there, the light bulb went off. The Lord normally, when he teaches me, he starts teaching me with columns in my mind. I'll see one thing on the right hand, and I'll see another thing on the right, on the left hand. On the right hand was that passage that we just read in Colossians 2, talking about will worship and the energy of the flesh. And on the left side was Romans chapter 8. Let's just go there for a moment. Romans chapter 8. It's all good. It's hard for me to... let's pick it up in verse 12. Therefore, brethren... No, verse 11. Verse 10. See what I mean? Quit looking up, Gary. Okay, verse 10. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit... Now, every time you see Spirit in your King James or whatever Bible you're reading, they should all be little s until you get to verse 16. Okay? But the Spirit is life. Your born-again spirit is life because of righteousness. Where did I... Yes. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, I know it's capital S in the King James. Dave himself, if you go to his early messages, he used to teach this, saying, it is the Holy Spirit that mortifies the flesh. I've got several of them here I can pull out and play them for you. He told us later on the born-again trail, he said, I was 1 or 2 degrees off there. Y'all remember that? He says, At first I thought, because the way it's worded, I thought it was the Holy Spirit that set you free from sin. But he said, it dawned on me one day, that can't be true. Because if the Holy Spirit was the one that set you free from sin, he would have set all the Old Testament saints free from sin. Isn't that right? And this whole passage is, especially leading up to verse 16, this whole passage is talking about the difference between the guy in Romans 7 who could not stop sinning to the guy in Romans 8 who could stop sinning. Well, what's the difference between the two men? The one in Romans 8 has been born again. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has quickened him and makes him alive. He's a new creature in Christ. So he says here, verse 11 again, the last part of it. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive your mortal bodies by his little s spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit, again, little s. Now again, I can pull and you can pull early messages of Dave's where he says this is the Holy Spirit. But later on the born again trail, he corrected that. How many knows we're supposed to grow in the things of the Lord, you know? All right. But it's through the Spirit, little s, that you mortify the deeds of the body. Now, the mortification you're going to see tonight is quite different than discipline. Mortification, mortify, put it to death. The deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, again, little s, they are the sons of God. As my understanding evolves over this time period, when it says Christ in you, how many want to obey Christ in you? Christ in you is the new nature. It is the new nature. Every time you hear don't do that, you might as well say Jesus told me not to do that. Because that's the nature he put in you. His nature. As you learn to follow that instead of the flesh, because your flesh goes, bet me, we're doing that. We've been doing it for, in my case, quitting cigarettes. We've been doing it for 42 years. What do you mean we're not doing that? I'll kill you. You know, withdrawals were tough. But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, Gary was finally growing up. That new nature on the inside of me. It's through the Spirit. And I'm going to say something that'll make sense to you better in a minute. Why is it through the Spirit? Now for a love offering of 1995. Because it's by revelation knowledge that the natural man cannot receive. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now you're really going to start seeing the difference here between discipline, will worship, and real mortification. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 12. Now we have received, and boy, they got it. Thank God, the King, even the King James got it right with a little s. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, that's a little s. The spirit of the world is the spirit of Adam you received at your first birth. But now that you're born again, you've not received that one, but the spirit, little s, which is of God. Now, can you tell it's plainly talking about your new nature, that new you? Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. The biggest gift is the gift of righteousness. If you learn, those that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by Christ Jesus, because it's His righteousness in you. So we've been given this spirit, little s, of God, so that we can know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, if you want to know, that's Dave's message, Chuck the Duck, right there. And that's the baby piranha. And all those other ones, that's that message right there. But we can't teach that tonight. Now, look at verse 14. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. He can't know them because they are spiritually discerned. But now he that is spiritual, that's us, we judge all things, yet we ourselves is judged by no man. In plain English, the natural man will never figure you out. They don't understand you at all. They think you're strange and weird. No, we think they're strange and weird. Now, verse 14, the natural man, the unborn again person, he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Well, they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Okay, keep that in mind and go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 18. We talk about this mirror. James talks about the same mirror, looking into the perfect law of liberty, looking into the beholding your face as in a glass, talking about the same thing, looking into the Word to see who you are. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, and that should be mirror, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Now notice, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, for years, I taught that as being a very slow, progressive process. I'm going to change you, you know, I'm going to quit smoking, and then I'm going to quit drinking, and then I'm going to quit eating too much, and then I'm going to have faith to pray. And then people are going to get progressive, progressive, progressive. And there is a progressive growth. But that's not what he's talking about here. When he says you are changed into the same image from glory to glory, back up what Dave teaches. Find out the context. Find out what's been talked about. Back up to verse 7. But if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones, what is that? What was written on tablets of stone? The law, the Ten Commandments, right? But if the ministration of death, this was God's ministry to dead people. They did not have his law on the inside. He had to give it to them on the outside. This is the ministration of God to dead people, dead spiritually. But even it was glorious. He's talking about here, it was so glorious, Moses had to put a veil over his face. Even that ministry was glorious. But now notice, see that glorious there? So that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. And if you write in your Bible, in the margin, you ought to write Old Covenant. That's the glory of the Old Covenant. And under that system, that's the best you have. And I'm telling you right now, that whole system is based on will worship. Keep my law. But they had no nature to keep it. That's the guy in Romans 7. With my mind. Did you see that? With my mind. With my mind, I agree that your law is good and holy. I want to keep it. But when I set out to keep it, I find another law. Something stronger than my mind. Something stronger than willpower. Something stronger than will worship. It overpowers me and I wind up never being able to do it. Oh, that's the whole human race. And so that's the only covenant. That's all they had though under the old covenant was the law externally. And you do your best to keep it through the energy of the flesh. That is will worship. That's all they had. But even that had a glory. You got that? But nobody could keep it. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But now, no. So that's the... let's go back to our verse. We'll keep it in context. We are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Now watch this. That's the old. Verse 7 is the old glory. The old covenant. Look at verse 8. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather, that means even more, glorious. And in your margin, you ought to write, New Covenant. When it says, we are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, in this context, he is not talking about a progression. He's talking about an instantaneous happening that happened when you got born again. You went from a Roman 7 person who could only agree with the law with his mind and try and keep it by the energy of the flesh. You went from that kind of a person to a new creature that had the very life of God on the inside of you, the nature of Jesus Christ himself, where God no longer deals with you externally with tablets of stone. He has written his law in your mind and in your heart, and he's empowered you by grace with the new nature to walk in it. And you have been changed from God's point of view into that same image from glory to glory. When James is teaching, let's just go ahead over to James. Hallelujah. It's good stuff, I tell you, my brothers and sisters. Man, I don't know how people can get bored in the Word. I lose whole days. So James chapter 1, where he's talking about, listen, everybody's tempted. When a man's tempted, he's tempted by his own lust. And then he starts giving you the answer. How to overcome that is receive with meekness the engrafted word. Well, that when you engrave something, you got to watch it and you engrave your Sweetie Pie's name in there. You're engraving in words in metal. That's what God did with you. He engraved his law into your mind and in your heart when you got born again. You're a new creature. You're not an old covenant creature. You got a new glory now. You're walking in the glory of the new covenant. You've not only got the law on the inside, you've been empowered to keep it by the new nature. Isn't that something? But he says you got to receive with meekness that engrafted word. You can't just hear it and ignore it. Verse 22, you got to be doers of that word. Doers of the word. Now, we're doers of the written word, but in context, he's talking about you got to be a doer of that word that flows out of that new nature on the inside of you. And when it accuses what you're about to do, if you have meekness and teachability, you go, yes, sir. How about yes, Lord? Yes, Lord, I won't do that. Why don't you do it, though? See, look, James is teaching the same thing. Come down to verse 25, verse 24, verse 23. Best read verse 22 again. But be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Here we go, talking about a glass again. We just looked at one over in 2 Corinthians 3. Now James is talking about that same mirror. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But in other words, in church, Nathan led me in that confession. I am light. I am not darkness. I'm a child of light. I'm not a child of darkness. I'm not a cat. I'm a dog. I don't meow. I bark. Okay, you'd have to hear Wednesday night, but it was good. It was good. Even though he got them mixed up, it's good still. Your nature changed. That's what he's trying to tell you. You don't have the nature of a sinner anymore. You've got the nature of Christ on the inside of you. You've gone from one glory to another glory. And it happened instantaneously when you got born again. From God's point of view, you're already made in his image. Whoa, whoa. But he says, whoso looketh into the... Yeah, verse 25. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. What work? The work is obeying the word that you heard. And sometimes it's real work. When he starts pruning old fruit off of your tree. Now I'm going to just pick something silly. Days of Our Lives. I never was hooked on soap operas, but a lot of people were. Well, I don't know. Well, Bachelor today? Whoa. Do y'all even watch it? What is it something? Hey, I don't know. I don't want to pick one. Huh? Netflix. There we go. That's the current one, isn't it? And he wants, you know, maybe 1 hour of Netflix if you watch something that's not too bad. But, you know, if you're watching it, I don't have time to pray, but I'm watching Netflix 6 hours a day. Uh-huh. He may start dealing with that. And your soul is going to scream like a stuck pig. Like what? It's going to resist. See? It's work sometimes. It's work. No, no, no. It's like the withdrawals I went through on the cigarettes. No. But now watch this. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, let me read you some more of my notes. Let's go back to Nathan. Let's see. It's a perfect example. Presence of God, thank God for worship, thank God for his goodness. The presence of God came in so strong, it put Nathan right on the floor. Couldn't get up, using all of his power to get up, you know. Nathan's not big, but he's wiry. Normally he can get up, you know what I mean? Can't get up. But even after that lifts, he says, I kept sinning. My notes. Now, eventually he stopped sinning. And what, by his own testimony, what was it that caused him to stop? He finally realized, I am a child of light. I don't do that anymore. That is not who I am. Notes, the truth was in the word the whole time. Isn't that, you got that? The truth was in the word the whole time. The truth did not change. Nathan was born again during that whole entire time. You got that? Nathan's new nature did not change during that time frame. Got that? He's already born again. But his knowledge increased through the edification process. See, we know that true revelation, we just read it in 1 Corinthians 2, true revelation is spiritually discerned. First, his spirit man received it through meditation of the word and praying in tongues. Then graduation day came. His spirit understood better concerning who Nathan is as God's child. And Nathan's spirit passed on that knowledge to Nathan's soul. Even then, once the soul gets it, even then the soul can rebel against the knowledge of God. Nathan could have continued in that sin. See, that right there is the definition. That's the difference between a mind full of knowledge and a renewed mind. A renewed mind is one that has the knowledge, but also bows the knee. It yields. See, that's what James was talking about. You have to receive with meekness. That means teachability. It obeys the knowledge revealed from the mind of Christ, which is true. That day, Nathan's soul finally agreed with the truth. Now, the truth was there the whole time. But suddenly it's like Nathan's soul's going, what? I'm a child of light? Let's use a little different analogy. Nathan saw a little clearer in that mirror. You know, we see through the glass darkly. Darkly cleared up some. See, when we look in that mirror, who really are we seeing? When it's the mirror of the Word, when you look in God's mirror, you know who you're going to see? You're going to see Jesus. Because you have passed from that old glory to that new glory. You're not an old covenant person. You're a new covenant creature. You've been born again. You are like Him. Yet new person on the inside of you is created after God in His image. But your soul may or may not believe that. Now, I'm going to show you the difference for sure between the Roman 7 guy. I'm going to say the Planet Fitness guy. And the Revelation guy. Now watch this. One day Nathan's mind, he got renewed to this. And it says, wait a minute, I'm a child of light. And I don't do that sin anymore. That's the day his mind was renewed. And his life was transformed. And he was no longer conformed to the world, now at least in that area. Now, it is progressive in some sense. Okay? That's another night. We've got 7 minutes. Leave me alone. But all of the message, what we call the message here, Tim calls them the 7 pillars, praying in tongues, fasting, worship, confession, assimilation, there's 7 of them. All of those are important to transformation to the image of Christ. But right now, I'm wanting to understand better what is really happening through the edification and mortification process. Dave would teach, why are we edified when we pray in tongues? Remember, he'd look up the word edify, and it would be like to charge. Remember, he'd say, well, is it like a battery? When I'm praying in tongues, does God put up one battery cable on my left side and one battery cable on my right side? You know, I'm built up. No, you're praying those mysteries. Everything Christ is in you, to you, and through you, that's what's causing you to be built up. It's because we are praying the understanding of the mysteries that we did not know before. Now, your spirit man knows this. It's your soul. Even James, when he said it, receive them with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. See, that's where the battle is. So, I see clearly that process in Nathan's message. It was not the presence of God that caused him to cease from sin. It was the revelation knowledge of God that caused Nathan to cease from sin. How did that knowledge come? By doing the message. By praying, meditating the word, worship, all of those things. Mortification occurred the day Nathan announced to his flesh. Now, he didn't tell us what the sin was, and it doesn't matter what the sin was. You're not required to tell us what your sin is. But the process is the same. One day Nathan announced to his flesh, I am a child of light, and I do not permit you to do that sin anymore. Nathan didn't tell us what that sin was. Nathan did not say whether he went through withdrawals or not. Now, I did. But mortification is when you stop the deeds of the body, no matter whether the flesh wants to continue in the sin or not. Your emotions have nothing to do with it. Now, some accuse Nathan of teaching will worship. I am very familiar with will worship, and it is a valid concern. My Bible, by the way, before I got saved, was Think and Grow Rich. I know how to bring my will and my mind into focus on things. That's a perversion of God's truth of Mark 11, 22, 23, and 24. And it takes Jesus out of it and causes you to operate anyway. But I'm very familiar with all of that. But will worship is a mental force. Revelation knowledge is a spiritual force. The things given to us by God are spiritually discerned. You remember that a while ago? The natural man thinks those things are foolishness. But will worship is all the natural man has to try and discipline himself. Now, if this doesn't illustrate the difference, can you imagine going to an unborn again person and tell him, you need to stop sinning? Well, why should I stop sinning? Oh, because don't you know you're a child of light? What is that person going to... He's going to look at you like... What? You're talking jibber-jabber to him. What? I'm Bob from Tulsa. What are you talking about? I'm Billy Joe Ray Bob from Tennessee, you know? Kentucky. I'm just a good old boy. What are you talking about? I'm a child of light. Can you imagine? I got to lose weight because I'm a child of light. That kind of thinking does not go through the natural man. He looks in the mirror and he sees a big blob. He does not like what he sees. So he starts using energy of the flesh to change. Yes, sir. You reminded me, I wrote this down. I wrote it better than I'm saying it, so let me just read it. Will worship looks in the mirror, does not like what it sees. So it says, I must become different. I must change. It then uses mental willpower and energy of the flesh to try and become what it is not. You hear that? Mortification looks in the mirror of the Word of God and likes what it sees because it sees Jesus. Revelation knowledge says, I am made in that image. That is who I am. He is light. I am light. Flesh, telling you today, I am a child of light. And I don't do that anymore. That is not who I am. Now you might as well know, either way, mental discipline or revelation knowledge, the flesh is going to kick and scream either way. You got that? But will worship is limited and it's energized by the power of man. It is the man in Romans 7 who agreed with his mind that the law was good and holy, and he tried his best to keep it. He is trying to become something he is not. And that method will always fail. But mortification is unlimited and it is energized by the power of Christ in you. It is the man who, in Romans 8, who has been born again, has the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus within him. Revelation knowledge reveals who he is in Christ, and he's simply walking in what God has already made him. He's already gone from glory to glory. And one day it just dawns on you. This does not belong to a child of God. This is not who I am. Take Gary. It wasn't quite the same, but the day that I decided to quit smoking, my flesh did not agree with my decision. My flesh is not saved. It don't care at all. It just wants what it wants. It wants to feel good. My flesh threw a hissy fit, and it did for a long time. But it did not matter. It did not matter, see? When you realize who you are, you go, I don't do this. And this is why it's through the Spirit, little s, only your Spirit understands, discerns the things that are freely given by God. It is only the person that's born again that can truly mortify the deeds of the body. The world can use discipline to try and bring the body into check, but it cannot mortify. Through the Spirit, you can mortify the deeds of the body, because it's you are not your flesh. That's it'll finally dawn on you. It's like my car is not me. You know, I'm not identified by my car. My car is the vehicle I get in to use to take me places. Well, that's exactly what your body is. Your body is the vehicle for your spirit to use on this earth. It is not your boss. I like how Sue, you are not the boss of me. You are the boss of their flesh. And when it dawns on you, you look in that mirror, you're not trying to become something you're not. God has already made you like him. And all you're doing is realizing, I am a child of light. And from here on, I walk as a child of light. Flesh, you don't have nothing to say about it. You can kick and scream all you want. And eventually your flesh will come online. That withdrawal won't last forever. And it'll, my body hasn't craved alcohol since 1980. It hasn't craved nicotine now for a long time. Over, 15 years, I guess. Long time. And I smoked for 42 years. So I don't care what addiction you've got. There is hope for you on the other side. And you'll live life without ever even thinking of it. Whatever it is you're addicted to now. True mortification, I'm promising you, is available. And you already had the power to do it because you're already a child of light. We all need to start walking as the children of light He's made us. Is that good stuff or what? You see the difference? Glory to God. I'm going to try and make this even better. I'm going to try and write this really well till I feel His approval. And I'll put a little written teaching, a summary of this at the website. Okay? All right. Did that bless you? You understand the difference? Get it straight now. No person... That the natural man at Planet Fitness, and you may look at, hey, there's one guy over there, he comes in, and I kind of, physically, you got to admire this guy. I mean, he has he's guy's built, okay? He comes in, he's got this t-shirt, and it's already just tight like skin, and he says, I would flex, but I like this shirt. Now, I don't know that guy at all. I don't know whether he's saved or not saved, okay? But through discipline, you can accomplish quite a few things. But I'm telling you right now, through discipline, you cannot truly mortify the deeds of the body. That's Romans 7. That's every person that ever tried to keep God's law. Not one of them could do it. Why? Doesn't have the power to do it. It's through the Spirit, that revelation knowledge, knowing who you are, who He has made you. It's through that knowledge that you mortify the deeds of the body. I got to quit. I'm excited. I could teach it all again right now. I'm the youngest person here. Let's go. Come on.